not a dream. Not a dream. We are using your brain's electrical system as a receiver. We are unable to transmit through conscious neural interference. You are receiving this broadcast as a dream. We are transmitting from year 1999. You are receiving this broadcast in order to alter the events you are seeing. Our technology has not developed a transmitter strong enough to reach your conscious state of awareness. But this is not a dream. You are seeing what is actually occurring for the purpose of causality violation. This broadcast will be received by the perceptual centers as a dream. But this is not a dream.
We're the School of Rock. I'm the Rocketeer.
The Rock of who?
Well, it's called Tron.
It's called the Third Man.
It's called the Kiss of the Dragon.
Kiss my ass!
He was known as the Glimmer Man.
Looking for the army of the 12 monkeys.
We got a Black Hawk down, we got a Black Hawk down.
He say you brave runner.
Tell him I'm eating.
These drug cartels represent a clear and present danger.
And this year's Miss Congeniality.
I'd like to take his face off.
Authority is not given to you to deny the return of the king.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sounds like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it.
Welcome to the lair, Cakes.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Just like you on this island, Dr. Moore.
Can I hear this, Goldfinger?
Code name? Thunderball.
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
You are now listening to your cinema.
All right, welcome to episode 94 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. It is a wonderful autumnal day outside, 79 degrees. Clear skies, sunny, feels dry. That's your Crespediso weather report. Hope that helps you wherever you hear this. Also, pollen report. No pollen out there, so your allergies should be fine. You can leave the Zyrtec in the medicine cabinet. Unless you're trying to party, in which case, fill up that tumbler with some scotch, down a couple Zyrtecs, and crank up the show, because we're going to have a good time. Episode 94 is here. I got my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, Chris?
People are cheering for you. How are you doing, dude?
Doing okay. How about yourself?
Doing good. Our special Halloween episode.
Super special Halloween episode.
Well, you know what? Because one person called this spot months ago, and he's here. Our guest, wonderful guest, love this guy. Pedro Lima's here.
Yay! Hey, I got a question for you. Is this being broadcasted live?
No, but it will be up within a couple hours.
So if you do the pollen report, right?
Yeah.
And
the pollen report exactly. Right now, yes.
And somebody downloads it later.
Yes.
Are you held liable if that person, like...
I think that's part of the joke.
They can use that information however they choose. Yeah, absolutely. if listen to the show a year and a half from now, because they're like, what was...
Oh, Chris says the pollen's clear. I can leave my Zyrtec.
Especially if they're living in the Northwest somewhere. We have a bunch of listeners in Washington. Yeah. How's it going, Washington? Shout out.
Yeah, the weather report means nothing to them.
Yes. Every now and then we'll give them a traffic report as well.
Wow, there's catering now in this place.
Now we got catering. That's how we
this
do it.
This is fantastic.
Here you go, sir. It's all for you. Enjoy.
Does that person even live here? People just ran into the apartment?
No, the show.
They're randoms.
The show has blown up now. We have a staff. Yeah, we got some chips and guacamole.
Let's try this out.
Enjoy, sir. All homemade. So there you go. Show starting now. Thanks for downloading. iTunes, Stitcher, ChrisCrespo.com. Rate us, review us, do things like that. So you know how's that? Yeah.
Yeah. This is good.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. So, it's definitely use this information, people, however you need it. You know, the traffic outside is nice and clear. So there you go. That's
by
a traffic
the way,
report.
Awesome intro.
Thank you.
Yeah. I did.
Thank you.
They just keep saying it over and over and over again.
The name of the movie.
Yeah. I caught Drew and I were doing the same thing. Like, we knew the line was coming. Welcome.
It's a dress mark. Yes.
Iconic lines.
My favorite
is lines.
They call him the Glimmer Man.
Yeah. So ridiculous. My favorite's when Jet Li tells the guy it's called the Kiss of the Dragon. And then the guy yells him, kiss my ass. Like, what? So Jet Li's about to beat you up, man. You're going to yell, kiss my ass.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
I guess that's part of the. Part of what's going on. Before we really get the show started here, a couple things from the corrections department. Corrections department tuning in from last week.
Well, let's call them the snitches.
The snitches are reporting.
Snitches are reporting.
First off, Too Cute.
No longer on Netflix.
No longer on Netflix Instant.
God damn it.
It was last week's Netflix Instant pick of the week, but it wasn't on there. So, sorry guys. Some of you were very excited to hear that Too Cute was on the Netflix. It was on there.
It was. We were watching it fairly recently.
But it's not on there now, so sorry folks. You'll just have to go out and buy a puppy or a kitten. You ever watched that that Too Cute, Pedro? What is it? Animal Planet? Animal Planet.
No.
It's soul-crushingly cute.
I can't. I'm like, not an animal person.
It is like pure
cuteness?
Serotonin.
Distilled cuteness.
Yeah. It's just boom. Slow motion puppies, slow motion kittens, slow motion other tiny animals. It's the most ridiculous thing
hands
ever.
Hands down. As an infant, what is way cuter? A cat or a puppy?
I would actually have to give it to cats.
Yes.
Kittens are cuter than puppies.
They're so fucking cute. They're so
fuzzy and tiny.
Oh, the big eyes, like anime eyes.
And they're always blue, too.
Yeah.
Most kittens have blue eyes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and then they change.
Yeah, it's like how kids are born with blonde hair a lot, and then the hair changes.
But then they grow up, and they're like, ugh.
Yeah, and then they become bitches. You're like, God damn it. The dog is way cooler now.
Yeah, it's the transformation. I mean, puppies are cute and stuff like that, but nothing beats the little big ass.
Hey, that's why cat memes are big. There are not that many dog memes out there.
No.
But you can search cat memes. You can get lost into a cat meme black hole for hours if you do the proper Google image search.
If you see a dog meme, the dog's already, like, grown.
Yeah, and it's usually wearing, like, a hat.
Or has a stupid look on its face.
Well, that's just being a dog. That's just the joy of being a dog. Being able to just look around like an idiot. And everyone's like, oh, I don't mind him. He's just a dog. Also, the snitch is reporting something else. This is kind of unfortunate. Actually, I'm kind of snitching on myself on this one. Point Orlando, IMAX. Guess who swapped out their film projectors for dual digital projection?
Assholes.
How far do we have to travel?
Our nearest option to see Interstellar on IMAX film is Tampa.
Really?
Got to go to that big, the dome that they have over
there.
The curved screen.
So
is that the one you lay down?
I think, they have you going pretty far back because it's a big curved screen. So I don't know about watching a movie on a screen like that, but they will be showing IMAX Interstellar on there for sure.
So we've got to drive an hour to see Interstellar properly.
Might have to drive an hour to see Interstellar properly. Also, this is interesting. In town. Here in Orlando, only place getting the movie, because Interstellar, Pedro, is coming out 2 days early in all the theaters that are showing the movie on film, that have film projection capabilities.
Okay.
So the movie comes out around the world November 7th. November 5th, it's going to pop up in a few theaters here and there. Here in town, there's one theater over in South OBT, like the South Chase Cinema something or other. Little crappy
blah, blah, blah.
Theater, but they have a 35mm projector, and they'll be showing Interstellar on film. And that's the only place in town. Everywhere else, it's some form of digital, whether it's IMAX digital or digital.
How
projection.
Big of a difference does it make, though?
Well, when you're
get the IMAX experience.
Well, IMAX is big. Yes, IMAX is big. That's one thing. Now, I'm talking about the actual film stock, because they shot the movie using IMAX film, which is like, I mean, if you picture 35mm film, it's like, a little bigger than a postage stamp, that's that's the actual film that they're using. An IMAX one is, like 5x5, 6x6 is a big piece of film stock. And it captures much more information. So then when you watch a movie projected on that film, it's like looking at the world's most high definition, high def TV ever.
Okay.
Like beyond detail that you can imagine. We got to see The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises on with the film projection. And it's crazy how, there'll be a shot of something outside, and you can see
difference?
All the way down the street.
Oh, okay. So it's the details on it.
The details insane. It's just so, it's unbelievably real looking. It's right there. And then when you do digital, it still looks great, but it's not 100%. You're downgrading a bit, and then you keep going down as you downgrade to digital cinemas and smaller theaters, and it's just not the intended
look.
So has digital run its course already?
It's not that. Digital, unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, unfortunately, is the future. It's done. I mean, most theaters now are converted for digital projectors. There's no more, like, films being shipped out now. Everything's being downloaded from central servers, which has resulted in the locational problem. Guardians of the Galaxy, the Thursday night screenings, there was a bunch of tweets from one theater somewhere in the middle of the country where someone accidentally downloaded the animated film Rise of the Guardians instead of Guardians of the Galaxy. Ah. And then they started playing Rise of the Guardians. Everyone in the theater was like, what the fuck is this? We want to see Guardians of the Galaxy. It's pretty funny. But yeah, now it's just download, play, as opposed to here's the film, let's throw it on the projector, now the thing's rolling, now we gotta do the switch over. You know, people don't know how to do that anymore. That projectionist job is a thing of the past. It's crazy.
It's faded out.
So digital is here to stay. And but now there's people like Christopher Nolan who they still prefer film. Tarantino, he's a similar way, he prefers film 100%. And those options are becoming far, far fewer. That Point Orlando IMAX used to have a film projector, but now apparently it's all digital.
You ever think Tarantino will ever do like a sci-fi movie?
That would be awesome.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'd get around to it. That's the thing. He seems like he's going through the genres that he likes. I mean, he had Western elements in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And then he made like a Southern Western with Django Unchained. Now he's like, all right, now I'm going to make a straight up Western with this movie coming out next year.
He did a World War movie with
the war. Yes, his revisionist cinema, revisionist history war movie. That was, I mean, he's gonna kill Hitler, gonna straight up kill Hitler. Spoiler alert for a 4-year-old film. Hitler dies in Inglourious Bastards. So yeah, corrections department, there you go. If you want to see IMAX, true IMAX Interstellar, man, at least the thing with Point Orlando, it is the biggest screen. We're talking almost 70-foot screen, so it's like the size of a 6-story building.
I'll be honest with you, I've never seen an IMAX movie.
Really?
Never.
It's
bigger.
Do you guys do the IMAX 3D combo? Do you guys like try to sensory overload yourself?
I'm not sure.
I try to avoid 3D actually. No. Last time I saw an IMAX 3D movie, I think was Tron Legacy, which was what?
A long time ago. No, and it really wasn't so that good.
The trailer was incredible. And you know what? To this day, I still love the first 45 minutes and 43 seconds of that film. As soon as Olivia Wilde's character shows up, the movie just goes downhill. It loses all momentum. It's not because of her character, but just the story itself falls apart. But the first 45 minutes when he gets sucked into the world, and then he's like trying to figure shit out. It's pretty much almost beat-for-beat remake of the first Tron, all that stuff. And it's really, really good. And then it falls apart. Unfortunately, it falls apart when Jeff Bridges shows up, which makes me sad.
Whenever a trailer sucks you in, so that it's like, man, this movie, you got Liam Neeson.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Liam Neeson, all his movies makes look great. Phenomenal trailer.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
and then you go see garbage the movies. Like, what?
Yeah. So does Zack Snyder movies.
Sucker Punch trailer.
The Sucker Punch
trailer, the most amazing thing ever.
It's one of the best trailers ever. It's like, this movie looks like, oh, it's so good. And then you see the movie. It's like, this doesn't make any sense.
What was that?
Why?
I couldn't, and I had that movie in my house.
Yeah,
and I could not watch the movie. I don't have to watch segments and segments.
It's not that good anyway.
It's disappointing. And then there's a failure. And then there's a director's cut where it's just more.
I think the girls were too pretty. I think that's what ruined.
Most of them were, and too slight, tiny girls. Yeah. You know. Except that one tall blonde. She looked like she could throw a punch, but otherwise, yeah, they're like Jenna Malone. She can't.
No,
can she even hold a gun?
She can hold a fake one.
She's going to be Robin, the new Batman and Robin. Well, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Just Ice. Dawn of Just Ice. That's going to be a train wreck.
Yeah, it is.
For sure.
I'm really looking forward to watching it all explode.
Right in front of our eyes.
Yep.
Aquaman is Khal Drogo.
Yep. And then they're doing an Aquaman movie. Yep.
It's going to be really, really bad.
It's a cluster F.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
They could have gotten Joseph Gordon-Love Hewitt to do it, to be Robin or whatever he's going to be.
Oh, continue that, yeah. But they didn't want to connect. They didn't want any overt connections to, because then now you're setting yourself to be like, well, now we're comparing ourselves directly to these
Chris Nolan films. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I mean, Zack Snyder's good and all, but he's not Chris Nolan.
It'd be smarter for him to bring back Chris O'Donnell and be like, oh, see, we're much better than the Schumacher ones, guys. See, we know how to use Chris O'Donnell properly. And Alicia Silverstone, is she still alive?
I don't know, maybe.
No, they're saying all the heroes that are going to be in this, Wonder Woman, so many, like that.
They're just jamming people into this
thing. Who are the villains?
It doesn't matter.
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor is the guy from Facebook.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird casting. Although, I mean, Eisenberg, he plays the sort of characters that Luther is, kind of megalomaniac, emotionless, you know. It's just that he doesn't have the physical presence we would expect.
Yeah.
He's no Gene Hackman.
No Gene Hackman.
No.
No.
Who almost refused to shave his mustache to be Lex Luthor, because that was when he was mustache crazy in the 70s.
Okay.
Right? And they were like, we need you, bro. You need to shave the mustache. Lex Luthor doesn't have a mustache. He's bald, no mustache. First off, he don't even want to be bald. They had to work around that. And he's like, I'm not shaving the mustache. And then Richard Donner, the director, he started wearing a fake mustache. And then he went up to Gene Hackman. He was like, listen, we'll do this together. You got to shave yours, and I'll shave mine, because we need this to happen. And Hackman comes in the next day, and he's clean shaven. Richard Donner walks up to him with his mustache still on him, just pulls it off. And he said for a second it looked like Hackman was going to kill him, but then he was like, then they laughed it off. And yeah. So almost had a mustache like Luther.
That is so awesome.
And that Hackman mustache was awesome, though. I mean, I'd be hesitant to shave it, too, if I looked that good with it. All right, so let's get this started here with the proper Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. I got my the brand new Netflix Instant Pick of the Week theme song, and it's check this out, Pedro. Here we go.
Whoop. Go ahead while you do.
Oh, wait. And had a delay just like this last week. For the entertainment that you see, time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. All right, Netflix pick of the week theme song. Let's get this started. Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000 spitting out the titles. There's already a list out there online. You can look up new Netflix movies November 2014, and you'll see which ones are slated to come out on the instant.
I got so disappointed. I went to my Netflix to go see this movie I've been dying to watch, mm-hmm. about a couple that's struggling financially.
Okay.
And they meet this millionaire that asks them to do a bunch of a series of bets. It's like, I'll give you $1,000 if you eat this. I'll give you, and it just
is that Cheap Thrills?
Yeah,
I've been wanting to see that.
It just got removed.
It was on there to begin with.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was on there.
Yeah,
I think it's on the Amazon Prime.
Is
on
it?
Demand.
I've been dying to watch.
I've been meaning to watch it with David Koechner.
Yes,
yes. I've heard nothing but good things about that movie. So we're good to go, Drew.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, Pedro. What is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week? Week.
Robot and Frank.
Oh, interesting. Robot and Frank. Robot and Frank is a kind of new. It came out like 2 years ago. It's with Frank Langella.
Okay.
All right. And he plays a character named Frank. That's probably helping him remember his character name.
Yeah, he's old.
Old guy. I mean, guy with Skeletor. You know, come on. Yeah. And it's like near future type of thing, because it's like this science fiction a little bit. Science has advanced in a way that there are little health aid robot workers in society. So someone, Frank Langella's character is older. He needs someone to take care of him. Instead of hiring a health worker, his kids hire a little robot guy. They buy a little robot thing, and robot helps out Frank. It's his day to day personal assistant. And then the thing is with Frank, he is a retired
cop
burglar.
Burglar.
The opposite. He's a retired cat burglar.
This sounds like Monkey Shines.
It is in a way, sort of Monkey Shine-ish. Much better.
Does a robot go crazy?
The robot does not go crazy.
You almost said monkey.
I did say monkey, because I did just recently watch Monkey Shines 2. The robot almost does not go crazy. What happens is Frank Langella, he kind of reprograms the robot and has the robot become his cat burglar assistant.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
Yeah. So then it's him.
Old man thieving robot.
Old man with a thieving robot. And
is the robot sassy?
I'm sure they throw in some R2-D2 type sass. It doesn't speak.
Oh, it doesn't?
So it's like, okay, it's all moving around. Does it speak? It's been a while since I've seen the movie. I saw it when I was playing at the Enzion. I remember liking it quite a bit. Also remember at the end, it being a little sad. So
is it like batteries not included sad?
No, not that. More like...
That shit broke my heart.
That crazy movie. I haven't seen that movie.
30 years?
88, 98, almost 30 years, 25 years now? Because
I
late 80s.
Spoil it. The place burns down and the robots come to help. And then the little baby robot just pushes one tile at a time. Dude, that got to me.
That's great visual storytelling is what that is. That was Amblin. Amblin Entertainment from the 80s.
Robot and Frank. I'm definitely going to watch
Robot
this.
And Frank, or as they say in Espanol, Robot y Frank.
Francisco y Robot.
Brought to you by Colgate. All right, so here we go. That was your Netflix pick of the week, Robot and Frank. It's a good one. I like it. So Skeletor hangs out with R2-D2.
and they start
and creeping. They start robbing shit. Let's yep. do that box office recap for the weekend, Drew. What do you got? You got the numbers there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
What do you got? What's going on?
Let's start off at number six this week.
Sounds good to me.
St. Vincent.
Saint Vincent.
Had a weekend gross of about $8 million, total of about $9 on a budget of unlisted.
Now, Bill Murray. This is a Bill Murray movie.
Uh-huh.
Super popular guy.
Yep.
At this point, American national treasure type yep. of deal.
But he enjoys doing low-budget movies.
He does low-budget movies and small roles. This is only the third time he's been the lead of a film since Lost in Translation. It was Lost in Translation, this, and Hudson. Was it Hudson on Hyde Park? Hyde Park on Hudson? The one where he played Franklin Delano
yes.
Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Those are the only three movies since 2000 where he's been the lead. Hell, before that, well, he was the lead.
Broken Flowers? When was that?
Broken Flowers was after Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Broken Flowers was after Lost in Translation. So four movies since since Lost in Translation. That, but he's been in a ton of movies since then.
Yeah, he has. Just not...
Not the lead?
No.
Not the lead guy.
He was in that Monuments Men movie.
Oh, yeah. What?
Not good.
Yeah. That movie was...
Yeah, it was that was disappointing. That was, it was like, hey, let's have a war movie where there's no danger. Thanks, guys. So, you know, $8 million 3 weeks in, $8 million weekend. This is when...
Well, for the last 2 weeks, it's only been in like
in a couple theaters. Yeah, and then it expanded. Looks like they added...
2,000 theaters.
2,000 theaters. So that's not bad for a really low-budget Bill Murray movie. And he's good in it. He's definitely Bill Murray-ish.
Yeah.
We saw this movie. Drew, get the review story. What do you think of St. Vincent?
Oh, I mean, I thought it was a good movie. I mean, it's a smaller film, you know? It's just a little character drama
yeah.
about this old alcoholic asshole.
Yeah.
You know, his day-to-day life. And
his new neighbors move in.
New neighbors move in, and he starts doing... some good
single mom Melissa McCarthy with her kid and
isn't it great how just a child changes
that's the whole thing
a degenerate
it's
life
the child changes him helps him feel again
he changes the child
because the kid's a little runt he needs to learn self defense and mm-hmm. you know the joys of going to the horse track
yeah
and
like lose either winning or losing all your money
it feels like the movie could have been
Karate Kid but you know what I mean but
instead of karate living
life yes.
through yeah. your vices
because there's no way no matter how Asian the Asian guy is you're gonna be able to kick a guy that's been doing karate
but he's been training for a while
for years
now Daniel you know LaRusso I mean? Did take a little bit of karate back east in New York remember when he kicked the fence and he knocked the guy over he's like oh I took a little bit of karate remember
but that's a little bit
but at least he had a base to work with is what I'm saying hey pain does not exist in this studio
yes sensei
does it? I forgot that does it. So, would you call Drew this movie more of a comedy or a drama?
Probably more of a drama.
It's one of those, Pedro, because it's funny.
It is funny, but it's definitely, especially with the ending.
Towards the end,
it's definitely more of a drama.
Yeah.
Dramedy.
Yeah,
definitely dramedy. Because yeah, dramedy denotes more drama than comedy.
Yes,
for sure. The other way would be what a comma?
See that? Comma
drama.
Yeah,
Kamama.
That sounds even weirder. That,
yeah,
like a drama.
Sounds like we're being racist somehow. I like the movie. I thought it was good. I wouldn't say like run out and go see it. It's not that type of movie. You know, mm-hmm. it's definitely like a Redbox type thing, right, Drew?
But I mean, if you like Bill Murray, he's good.
Bill Murray's good. He's doing old craggly man really well. It sounds like he's doing a little bit of a accent work, maybe a little Long Island accent sort of thing going on. Which is that surprised me?
Well, this is the time they start releasing the movies that they want people to consider, right?
Yeah, definitely. October is like the unofficial start of the Oscar season. November is when it really kicks off. I could definitely see them being there being a push to nominate him for Best Actor. Okay. Not with any real hopes of him even winning either. Yeah, Golden Globes for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they can at least get it nominated, then more people will be, oh, St. Vincent, what's this movie about? Yeah. And then they'll check it out on DVD or whatever, which is probably where most people end up seeing this movie.
Has Melissa McCarthy run out her welcome?
Not that funny in this movie.
She's not really being... Yeah, she's not being called on to... do her Melissa McCarthy thing. She's more of just like the single mom character who's struggling. Yeah, so I think in that way, if she does more stuff like that, does less McCarthy type stuff, then people like her more. At least to stick around. But if she keeps doing movies like The Heat and Bridesmaids over and over and over, then have Identity Thief. What's that other one? Tammy. That seems like the same character.
Heat and Heat and Bridesmaid were fantastic.
Bridesmaids I really liked.
So did I.
Heat, I thought it was okay.
I didn't really like the Heat.
It was okay.
You didn't like it?
No.
You didn't care for it? I thought it was okay. My brother liked it. I saw that with my brother. I did enjoy the spectacle of Sandra Bullock, America's Sweetheart, being all like, motherfucker, and flipping people off and, you know, shooting guns and stuff. That was fun. That was fun for sure. But no, this one, she's more of just like a less McCarthy-ish, more just like a normal
she's
type
Gilmore
character.
She's Gilmore Girl, serious kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's like one or two times when she cracks a few jokes. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. She's a funny person. But,
cool.
It's really Bill Murray's show. And the kid, whoever
and
the kid
is.
Yeah. Naomi Watts pops up as a pregnant Russian hooker.
Oh.
And
Slash stripper.
Ends up having a very significant role. It's a significant character. So it's interesting and a little gross.
A little gross is right. Like, well, they uglied her up well.
They uglied her up. Okay. Way too much makeup. And then their belly is always sticking out. Like, she's introduced to having sex with Bill Murray's character, with Vincent. And her belly is sticking out and everything.
And you can tell she's, you know, on her way.
Doesn't look very attractive.
Not at all.
It's an interesting movie, Pedro.
It's very real.
Interesting movie. Yeah, they keep it real.
So far, Robot and Frank is still ranking up there. I'm going to go.
There you go. Well, Robot and Frank's got... If this movie had a robot, then forget about it.
Wow.
Then forget about it. Real quick, St. Vincent on the Rotten Tomatoes. 76% positive out of 108 reviews. Average rating, 6.8 out of 10. I would give it like that. 6.5.
Sounds good.
Something like that. The consensus, what they put here. St. Vincent offers the considerable pleasure of seeing Bill Murray back in funny form, but drifts into dangerously sentimental territory along the way. Kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next on the old
number five, The Book of Life. We can gross at 9.8 million, total of 29.9 on a
budget. Guillermo del Toro.
That's his animated movie. Right?
The one he produced. Yes.
Okay.
And it's written and directed by some dude named Jorge Gutierrez.
Okay.
And it's it's centered on a Day of the Dead and all that artwork and stuff. Have you seen any of the trailers or anything?
No. Check. But for some reason, my kids want to go see it.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah. Take them to see it.
We saw it last week.
They'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. There are moments where it gets like surreal and a little. Like a mix between, like, it's as if, like, David Lynch and Salvador Dali made a couple of scenes together.
The kid's gonna enjoy that.
Because it's still all.
It looks awesome.
It looks beautiful, and it's still all centered on a very basic story. It's actually three very basic, generic stories smushed together.
Okay.
There's the story of the kid who his dad wants him to be a bullfighter, but he wants to play the guitar and sing. There's a story of him and his best friend. They're friends with this girl, and they both like the girl, so they're going to, you know, that's another story. And then the third story is how it's like you got to be, the main theme is like you got to be, can't always be remembered, because if you get forgotten, you end up in the land of the forgotten, which is like the hellish world of the Day of the Dead.
Oh, damn.
And then above that is the land of the remembered, where it's like, it's Fiesta afterlife,
all the time.
But it's a crazy party.
Wow, what a fucked up message to give these kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The message is don't be forgotten, or else you end up in this horrible netherworld.
Wow, what a way to fuck their self-esteem up.
There's actually a couple moments in the movie where, like, crazy, like, I mean, because we're talking about the netherworld, so like certain characters have to die along the way, and then they come back and they die. It's all, you know, death is a kind of a weird thing in this movie. The framing device of the movie is these like punk kids on a museum tour, and a woman is telling them the story of the Book of Life. So throughout the movie, it cuts back to the kids, and they have little jokes or comments about the story. And when one character dies, they cut back to the little kids, and one of them goes, this is a story for kids. And someone's dying. You can't do this to us. You know, it's like exactly what some parents are probably thinking at that moment. It's very self-aware of what it's doing, but it's still very.
Hey, kids.
The number one word I would give this film is it's heartfelt for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, kids,
don't be
a loser.
Don't be forgotten.
Make sure somebody. Yeah. So if you're a bully, you'll never be forgotten, because everybody remembers that asshole that treated you wrong.
That's true. Yeah.
And he belongs in the remembering land?
Until the people that remember him die, and then you end up going to the land of the forgotten.
Oh.
So the land of the remembering, that's no permanent place. Unless you're like, unless you have like statues built of you and shit. That's what that message of the movie, be popular enough so that they erect statues of you in town squares, they name cities after you, and you'll always be remembered.
If not, you're going to hell.
If not, you're going to hell, where Jabal rules over you.
And you are forgotten.
And you're forgotten. Or you can hang out with the La Muerte.
She's pretty hot.
Pretty hot for a dead witch thing. animated.
I'll have to watch this movie if I show it to my kids.
It's a wild movie, man. There's like one moment where they have to go through the Cave of Souls, yeah. And this giant like rock monster thing comes up with a huge sword, and he's like, "Come forward to be judged."
I just can't get over how fucked up the message is.
Yeah, well, you gotta watch it in context.
You know what I mean?
In the context of, you know, because it's not...
Hey, do something extraordinary, otherwise people are going to forget about you and you're going to end up in
they
hell.
They make it seem more like short term. Like, hey, you got family, you got friends, you know. If you live an honest, good life, there'll be people that can remember you. But in the end, really, those people are going to die and forget you. So you have to do something. You have to be a Steve Jobs.
Or Hitler.
Yes.
Or Hitler,
is in Rememberland because they will never forget Hitler.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true.
So that guy deserves his spot in the heaven that is Rememberland.
That is the land of the remembered.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it'll never
makes
be
no
free.
Sense. All right.
But still, check it out. It's a cool movie.
Coming to number four this week, Gone Girl. Made an additional $11 million for a total of $124 on a budget of $61.
It's been 1 month. I think if it makes another $5 or $10 million, will be David Fincher's number one grossing film of all time.
That guy makes great movies.
He does.
He makes the most like subversive films within the system. Like he works with the Hollywood studios, and he makes movies for them, and they all end up being so fucked up.
Except for
Curious Case of Benjamin Bottoms. Did you see that the Between Two Ferns? The Zach Galifianakis and Brad Pitt?
No.
Oh,
I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
My God. It's great.
Is it good?
It is great. I mean, you know, it's Between Two Ferns. It's only 5 minutes long. It's nice and quick. But I'll just say this one thing. At one point, he has Brad Pitt tell him about his charity. And within 5 seconds, he's like, man, I got to spice this up. And he hits a button, and it starts going, Louie, 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 Louie. And then Louis C.K. comes out with the mic stand, pops it down, and he tells a really bad joke about Ebola and ISIS. and Zach Galifianakis is like cracking up, and Brad Pitt's like being pushed off into the corner, like, what the fuck, man? It's crazy. And then they look, it's like, oh, then Zach Galifianakis says to Brad Pitt, it's like, look at him, he looks like reverse Benjamin Buttons. It's like, he's just getting older and fatter. And then he's like, and then he points to Brad Pitt, he's like, look, I got him. He's Benjamin Bottoms, he's right there. And Louis C.K. looks at him, he's like, I don't care.
I don't know what's going on.
No, he's like, I don't care. And then he walks off all pissy. And that's just a small portion of it. There's gum being spit.
That's when he beat Justin Bieber up.
Oh, that was good. The Bieber one was good. The one after that was when he had the president. You see that one?
Yeah.
That one was weird.
He's like, oh, do you go to any websites with like .com or .net on them, or is it all .gov with you? Gone Girl's great. You got to see it, bro.
He really should.
It has at least one scene in there that you're going to be like, what?
Okay.
At least one scene.
If not more.
But there'll be one. You're going to just like.
I like movies like that.
Like America watched this.
Yeah.
You know? They watch this and they seem to like it.
Yeah, they do.
What's wrong with us?
It looks like they took a lot from the Scott Peterson.
It's definitely. Or.
Thing.
Like the whole Nancy Grace culture, you know, with the top mom and all that bullshit, and let's sensationalize crime and put it on TV and declare
guilt,
yes, before the system does its work. Absolutely. It's all very much influenced by that. And it's great. All that stuff is
really
fucking
good.
It's really, really good. But then it's also just at its heart, it's a fucking twisty-turny, awesome little thriller with some crazy shit sprinkled in there.
Oh, yeah.
Be tough to forget. The Land of the Remembered includes scenes from Gone Girl, for sure.
Number three this week, Fury.
Furry.
Had an additional $13 million, total of 46, and a budget of 68.
Tank movie dropped two spots.
Yeah, it's a heavy movie, man.
It is.
It's a heavy
War
movie.
War sucks, bro.
Yeah?
45% drop from week to week, though. It's not bad. It's at 46 now. It'll probably get to 75, 80 here. Another Brad Pitt's a draw overseas. I'm going to see if it's made any money so far international. I can see it making... hasn't come out yet international. I could see it making like another 100, 150 in overseas markets because Brad Pitt is that guy. You know, he'll put out a movie and everywhere else in the world it'll be a hit. Then here, no one will go see it. But Fury's good. It's intense, dude.
Is it?
Do you like your war movies?
I like them.
Do you like them gritty?
I don't mind it. As long as it's like...
Do you like them bloody?
I could be without it.
Do you like him filled with Nazis?
You'd be without it.
Nazis are good.
Yeah. Have you ever been curious about what happens to a human's body when it gets hit by a large tank round?
No, but I guess I'm going to learn.
Have you ever been interested to see what happens to a human's body after it gets run over about a billion times by tanks?
I've seen that in the first Terminator movie when they're running over.
Yeah, this thing isn't skulls. This is still Flash.
Oh, yeah? I'm in.
This one's still Flash.
It's a fresh body, flattened Looney Tunes style. Yeah.
How's Shia LaBeouf in this?
He's good.
Quite good.
He's good?
This is the type of movie.
Going to turn him around?
I don't know if the movie's going to turn him around. It makes me wish he would get his shit together and
turn
around.
Yeah, because he's actually quite good.
He's good.
He's going around doing the apology tour now.
He is. Yeah, I saw a couple of interviews about that. But even that's a little weird. He's a weird guy, man.
He is.
Then all the plagiarism and stuff. And just act. Just act and then go home and be quiet. Sit in a corner and wait for your next job.
Yep.
Or do it at Robert Downey Jr. and just work your ass off.
I just
keep working. Don't stop.
The way he blames method acting, it's like Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor.
Yeah.
But you never hear of him
butchering people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he built a canoe once. That doesn't mean you got to walk around drunk all the time, going to cabaret on Broadway and light up a joint.
And start a fight in the middle of Broadway.
Insane asshole. Just be good. He's good. He's good in the movie, for sure. Everyone's good in that. Even the dude from Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Burnthal or whatever.
Yeah.
Michael Peña's great.
You can tell that guy was going to be a star, though.
Could you? I didn't like him that much.
He was going to be in movies.
And he's been in them. He did Grudge Match with Stallone and De Niro.
That intense look.
He does have that broken nose. A very distinct face. Yeah. What else did I see him in recently? It's like, it's the Walking Dead guy. So far, for everyone that's been on that show, he's the one that's cashing the most for being on that show. Well, probably because he got out early
enough. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the what's her name died? The lady? The wife?
She did that
Into the Storm
Twisters
movie.
Movies.
Yeah, the fake Twister movie.
Twister on Fire movie.
That's all she's been able to do. Man, that looked really bad. All right, let's talk about some movies that are new.
Coming to number two this week.
Here we go, number two.
John Wick. Had a weekend gross of $14 million. Same as total. Budget unlisted.
John Wick.
Okay.
Dude.
I only read one review.
Okay.
And it pretty much made me laugh. Pretty much saying, so they killed this guy's dog.
Yeah, his
and
puppy.
And everybody must die.
Yes, pretty much. That is the movie. You are correct.
So it's campy. Is it campy?
No.
No, not really.
There are moments where it gets weird because it's detailing a criminal underground of assassins with details
assassins?
No.
No.
Okay. The way they set up, it's economical, the way they set up. It's like when the movie starts, his wife is freshly dead. And the day of the funeral, he gets a delivery. It's a puppy with a note from his wife being like, so you don't, you know.
Have to grieve alone. Here's something to love.
And it's a cute little puppy. Yeah. Two days later, that dog is dead. The dog is dead and his car gets stolen. And even though he lives in a sweet-ass house, he doesn't care about the house because the dog and the car are the only things he had left. And the people who robbed him, they made a big show of it, too. Like, they were dicks about it. So he's like, nah.
He's like, fuck this.
These motherfuckers.
I'm going to kill them all.
He just wanted to kill one guy.
But everybody else got in the way.
The problem is, Pedro, the one guy happens to be the son of the head of the Russian mob in New York City. So before he can even leave his house to go kill the guy, they got to send 12 people over to him to try to kill him because he's fucking John Wick.
Yeah.
And when his name starts going around,
everyone's like, oh, shit.
You want to see a collection of people shit their pants at the same time? This movie. Everyone's
I like the excitement you guys have on this movie.
It's really good.
It's a fun movie, dude.
Is it?
It's really
fun. Keanu Reeves running around doing the old man badass Liam Neeson thing.
Because that super short setup is perfect. It's simple. It gets you into the movie right away. No. And then
they killed his puppy, dude.
You buy his motivation. I mean,
yeah, they killed his puppy.
He doesn't even clean the blood off himself before he's burying his puppy. You're like, oh, man, these guys are fucked. And then when word gets around, they're like, wait, whose puppy did you kill?
John Wick?
John Wick?
John Wick?
You know how fucked we are? And then throughout the movie, everywhere he goes,
Everyone tells stories about him.
And they're so reverent to him. Like, he'll roll up on a bodyguard. Like, people hired to protect the kid. He'll roll up behind him with a gun behind his head. And be like, hey, Francis. How's it going?
He's like, John.
And he's like, Mr. Wick, how are you? Say, I want you No, Francis is like, hey, you lost some weight. You're looking good. He's like, thank you. So, why don't you take the rest of the night off? And the guy's like,
thank you.
Thank you, sir. And it's a towering dude. He's like, thank you. And he walks off so John Wick can go inside and just fucking start murdering people.
Oh, I got to see this now.
It's a lot of fun.
I think I'm going to watch this before Gone Girl.
You should. It's crazy. It's crazy good. Gone Girl's going to be around. John Wick is like, watch it now, man.
Watch it now while it's hot.
Yeah, so yeah. We you can tell we love this movie.
We enjoyed it.
We really enjoyed it. It's just, and then also all the action stuff, it's like it's shot really well. It's clean shots, not a lot of crazy camera movement. We're not trying to make old Liam Neeson look like he's a badass. Keanu Reeves has a awesome stunt team and himself, you know, he can still do some of the kung fu. I got a little giddy when he pulled out a couple of like a little bit of the Matrix, you know,
little Matrix.
Yeah, so he still looks great doing it. The movie looks great. First time directors, these guys, they're stuntmen. First time directors, they're his stuntmen, the people that he worked with on the Matrix and stuff. One guy is his body double, and another guy is like a dude that like corralled the whole team together.
So is he executive producer of this movie?
He is a producer of it. I wouldn't be surprised if he even helped these two guys out a little bit with some directorial decisions, because there are moments here and there I was like, that's a damn great shot. Like, this is not, this doesn't seem like the work of some first timers. You know, they knew what they were doing. They put time and energy and craft into it, and it's, you can tell they didn't just crap something out.
Franchise, possible franchise.
I think so.
I hope so.
I would be fine with it. I would definitely like to see more John Wick movies, him just being a total badass.
Totally,
it's fun. And each story can be like as simple as, you know, killing a puppy. Yes, good enough to kill a bunch of people.
They gave him a kitten.
Yes. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Forget it. The cute factor really amps that one up. So yeah, go see it in theaters is what I say, Drew.
Yep. I agree, 100%.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? On Rotten Tomatoes, we're not alone. Out of 170 reviews, 86% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. Average rating, 6.9 out of 10. I would go a little higher.
I'd probably get like a 7, 7.5.
I'd go like 7.5, maybe almost an 8. Stylish, thrilling, and giddily kinetic, John Wick serves as a satisfying return to action for Keanu Reeves, and what looks like it could be the first of a franchise. Like, there you go. All the things we talk, that happens every week.
It does,
by
the way.
We have our movie discussion. We talk about everything. I look up on Rotten Tomatoes.
And it's just what we said.
It sums up all the things.
That's awesome.
Say. Yeah, it works. All right, let's fly through this number one.
And number one movie of the week, Ouija. Had a weekend gross $20 million, same as total budget of unlisted.
It's got to be a cheap movie.
Yeah.
That piece of shit is,
it's Halloween
one?
Time. It's Halloween time, and it's rated PG-13.
The week before Halloween.
Yeah, I guess. They could have made Saw 17 or whatever, and that would have gone number one.
I just realized Saw next week. They're re-releasing Saw.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
The 10-year anniversary.
I also heard that they're rebooting Saw. They're going to start that one all over again very soon. I just realized a week ago, we were supposed to have Paranormal Activity 5. This Halloween, that was announced like a year ago,
and what didn't happen?
They couldn't get it off the ground in time, which I think that's interesting. The first four, they cranked them out year after year after year because they're cheap, and they just made them, and now it's been a few years since they put one out, and it's not like they all make money. They're all super cheap and they all make money. So I'm surprised they didn't put out a fifth.
But Kane, I get the franchise thing, and you want people to come to something that they're familiar with.
Yeah,
there's so many like untold horror stories. Absolutely. That you can make up. You
absolutely
know what I mean? I thought The Purge was pretty original. We talked about it last time I was here.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the
first one was
kind of
sucky. The second one was the
I
one.
Think,
yeah, the second one's a fun one.
I think the last horror movie I really enjoyed was Cabin in the Woods.
Yes. 100.
That movie was so much fun.
That was a great movie. It was original in the way it took all the things that we're familiar with.
And then completely put them on their heads.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we need. But it's hard to make a good horror movie, you know? I mean, I've seen ones, you know what? The one that I thought had an intriguing setup that I wanted to see, but then I didn't, and the reviews sucked anyway, was that As Above, So Below movie that came out a little while ago, where the kids went into the French catacombs just to do some urban exploring, and then they get caught in a rock slide or a cave-in, which I assume kills them, because then as they keep going through the caves, they end up going into hell, through the gates of hell. And I was like, ooh, that's scary. We are being forced to crawl on our bellies into our own damnation. But then the reviews come out like, oh, they just wasted a great setup. And I was like, maybe I'll see it on DVD or something.
I got Your Next on Netflix.
Your Next is good. I enjoy the little twist they put on
because
that.
Because somebody told me it's like Cabin in the Woods.
A little bit. Don't expect that level of sophistication.
Cabin in the Woods is so great.
Yeah. That one is one where they must have wrote that screenplay over and over and over trying to get it perfect. All the little different details and stuff. No. It's so good. Your Next is more like, it's another one where they had a great concept and they could have worked a little harder on fine-tuning it, but it's still a pretty good movie. The guy that made Your Next, he made a movie that we just watched a few weeks ago called The Guest.
Oh, so good.
That's the movie to watch, Pedro. The Guest.
It's on Netflix?
No. Not yet. We had to drive across town to see it at the downtown Disney AMC.
Okay.
Because it only played there for 1 week and then it was gone. So it might be on demand now. Okay. You know, it's like for $7.99 or $6.99 or something. But, you know, it's worth it, especially if you watch it with other people, mitigate the cost of that price.
Yeah.
But it is so worth it. That's a good one.
It was fun.
For sure. And it's the same guy who did Your Next. But for me, it's like a big step up in quality from the first movie to the next one. Like, Your Next is good. The Guest is great. For sure. So Ouija, we didn't see it. I don't care to see it. Let's see what they said on the Rotten Tomatoes. Ooh. Out of 49 reviews, 10% are positive.
Nice.
Average rating of 3.2 out of 10.
Awesome.
Slowly, steadily, although no one seems to be moving in that direction, the Ouija planchette points to no.
Oh, I see what they did there.
I see what they did, those fucking hacks.
Did you ever have a Ouija board when you were a kid?
No, I grew up in a religious household, so something like that would definitely have been frowned upon.
I got it for a birthday gift.
My friend had
really?
One.
Really? Birthday gift? Yeah. That's a weird birthday gift.
It was so weird. I got
Happy
it
birthday,
like,
summon the
I
dead.
What am I supposed to do? It was so stupid.
Well, especially if you do it by yourself, right?
I mean, it doesn't work by yourself.
No, you have to somebody else and just...
There has to be two people.
And then, that's how it works. And then, like, someone's moving it. Like, exactly. I'm not moving it. Yeah. I'm not moving it.
Uh-huh. It's all the nerves.
Will you sleep with... I mean, what's this? Why would you make it sleep?
Grandpa?
new movies coming out on DVD this week. There's Begin Again, that the Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley movie where they're singing
music and
they fall in love, I guess.
Sure.
Wish I Was Here, that Zach Braff sequel to Garden State.
The Kickstarter movie.
Yes. The Kickstarter movie. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that.
It got okay reviews, so I might check it out. And horror movie, Halloween Time, Deliver Us From Evil. That Eric Bana?
Oh, yeah.
The one where he played the New York cop, and he hooks up with, like, an exorcist,
real.
And the devil's real, and he's like, you know, you don't remember those trailers? That was, during the summer, Drew?
Yeah.
It was a summer movie. Surprise at the time, it didn't come out in theaters now, but they're putting it out on DVD now, so a week before. So that might be why. So there you go. Those are your new movies on DVD. Drew, what's in theaters?
Coming out, starting on Halloween, we've got, you got ABC's of Death 2, if anybody cares about that.
That'll probably be a limited release, ABC's of Death.
They're redoing Saw, 10th anniversary for Halloween.
Oh, that's why it's 10 years now. No. Doesn't it seem weird now that everything's an anniversary of something? Like, there's now 30 years of this, 20 years of that, 25 years of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go back 25 years from now and find the anniversary of a whole year's worth of stuff.
Correct.
It's the anniversary of the Halloween orange flavor Twinkies.
Yes.
You know?
That Daniel Radcliffe movie Horns that nobody cares about.
Directed by... I'm only interested in that because it's directed by Alexander Aja, the guy who did High Tension and Piranha. Mm-hmm. The first Piranha 3D. You ever see Piranha 3D?
No, the original Piranha.
Well, yeah, the Joe Dante one from back in the day. You ever see Piranha 2, the one with the flying Piranha?
Yeah, of course. That was a staple in Spanish households.
It was. The Piranha 3D that came out like 4 or 5 years ago is totally worth checking out, Pedro. It's good. I didn't see the sequel, Piranha 3 Double D. But
no.
By all accounts,
pretty awful.
It's
Sharknado terrible. 3 is going to be filmed in Orlando.
Yeah. We got to get in on that. We have to appear in it somehow. Yeah. We can get in on it, right?
I'm sure.
It's super cheap.
Yeah.
We'll work for nothing.
Exactly.
We'll figure it out.
What
else come out?
There's a Nicole Kidman movie, Before I Go to Sleep.
No one cares about that.
Nope.
And
then the movie that I'm really looking forward to, mm-hmm. Nightcrawler.
Ooh,
with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Have you seen these trailers?
I saw those trailers. Look, that guy's losing.
Crazy.
He's trying the McConaughey approach of let me lose as much weight as I can.
He's going batshit crazy.
Yeah. He looks gaunt.
Yeah.
Yes, he looks like he needs to eat a sandwich for sure. But it looks good, though. Looks good. He's doing the wide-eyed crazy guy thing, which
he does really well.
He has it down.
He's when he plays like a normal guy, it's like, yeah, who is this?
I don't know. I like that cop movie.
Zodiac?
No.
Prisoners?
No.
End of Watch.
End of Watch.
End of Watch is one where he played a normal guy, and it's still
I can't watch Prisoners. Weird.
Really?
I can't because I have kids.
Yeah,
and I can see that.
It's gonna fuck me up. They're not trying to make it an easy time for you. That movie.
No,
they want you to be like, this is horrifying.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's great in it, and so is a huge Jackman.
Detective Loki. Shout out.
Pretty bad name.
Yeah,
pretty bad name. That's not his fault. He's a French Canadian director, writer, director. I mean, the guy's gonna have his quirks. But this one, Nightcrawler, looks good though. Looks really good. Written and directed by Dan Gilroy, who's the brother of Tony Gilroy, who wrote and directed Michael Clayton. He wrote co-wrote all the Bourne movies, and then he directed the last one with Jeremy Renner. His brother doesn't have as impressive a resume, but still. Maybe Nightcrawler is it.
This movie
is
crazy.
Maybe this will be it. All right, so let's take a quick break. Got a lot to talk about in the second half of the show. A couple songs.
Wait a minute, is that guy's last name real?
Yeah.
Michael Papa John?
Papa John!
P-A-P-A-J-O-H-N. Michael Papa John.
Maybe they bought sponsorship to his name?
Oh, they could be.
Would you sell the rights to your last name to a corporation?
Pedro Domino's?
Pedro Domino's!
It all depends on what the name of the corporation is.
Pedro Chipotle.
Drewster Huggins. What's the diaper?
Huggies.
Drewster Huggies.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Drewster Huggies and...
But you want to do something that you get like that man has free access to pizza.
Yeah, he gets all the Papa probably. John's he wants.
So I need, yeah.
Okay.
So do you go for food or vehicle?
I'll be Chris Publix.
Chris Publix? It's only in the South.
Just, yeah. I can't leave the South.
Call me Drew Samsung. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Drew. Smart guy. Pedro Apple?
Pedro Apple would be lovely.
What's what was that? Maranza? Marana? How do you say that?
Manzana.
Manzana! See, I got the first letter right.
Pedro Manzana.
I know.
I went to a school with a kid called really? Pedro Manzana.
Really? Whoa.
I shit you not.
That's small world. Maybe that guy is getting all the free phones.
Bastards.
All right, so let's take a break. I got a couple songs here since it is Halloween time. Here's one song that has nothing to do with Halloween. Although you could dress up as these guys, the Warriors. Remember that movie, The Warriors?
Come on, boy.
Here's the theme song from The Warriors. Very 80s electronic sounding. Very awesome. Follow that up with Chariots of Pumpkins from the Halloween 3 Season of the Witch soundtrack. The worst Halloween film. Yes. The best Halloween score. Yes. So good. So good. So, take a break. Sound good, guys?
Sound good. All right.
I want all the war. Send the word.
Welcome to the second half of episode 94 of Cinema Crespo. So, welcome to the second half of episode 94 of Cinema Crespo. So, thank you to Soul Brother Kevin for introducing the Crespo Dome, and he's leaving. Goodbye, Kevin. Good seeing you, as always. He comes in and does the live Welcome to the Crespo Dome drop. We appreciate it. I'm chilling with Drusa Cogburn and Pedro Lima, guys.
Yep.
Yo! Extra applause for everyone, because I feel positive reinforcement is a way to really keep things cracking. We're all doing a good job. Thank you.
I think so.
Thank you. All
right. We're in Remember Land right now.
We are in the land of the Remember. That's why we do the podcast. So we don't get forgotten. If the cloud goes down, no one can hear our show. Oof. Then we end up all ashy. But not in that way. In a different way.
Crawling on our bellies.
Yeah. Into hell.
Sweet.
Let's get the plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com. Is that the first time I mentioned ChrisCrespo.com? I think it is. ChrisCrespo.com. Go there for Netflix instant picks of the weeks of the past, as well as reviews of St. Vincent, Fury. What else did we see? John Wick. All stuff like that. Check us out on Instagram at Cinema Crespo, on Facebook at Cinema Crespo. We're on that Elo. Are you on that Elo, Pedro?
No, I haven't gotten invited.
You want to get invited?
No.
Okay.
I've been, you know how many times, you know how many times I sit in front of the computer, I'm like, today's the day I'm going to delete Facebook.
Well, you know, man, I've thought about that plenty of times. If it wasn't for the show and the film criticism thing, I would never have joined in the first place, to be honest. I would have just hated on it. And then it would have come around. Everyone would have been like, yeah, you're right. It does suck. Because now everyone...
I've lost all interest in all social media.
It's kind of a pain.
Twitter
in the
and Facebook. And like, I could give three shits.
It comes and it goes.
We'll see what's up with this Elo. It's brand new. It's like all clean and devoid of all adverts.
It's
and
also
sponsors.
Devoid of all posts.
It's devoid of many posts. You got to be following people to see posts and stuff. You know, anyway.
Is it better than Google Plus?
Dude, that Google Plus sucks. It is the fucking worst. Yes, automatically, just by existing,
it's
better than
Google
Plus.
Has not.
Well, the only reason why Elo is even becoming a thing now is because it doesn't do all the things that people hate about Facebook. You know, it doesn't aggregate your information, doesn't sell it to third parties.
Yeah,
not
it,
yet.
It doesn't
not
ask
yet.
For all these
there's no one on
permissions.
It, so.
Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Exactly.
Well, permission to access your phone so we can turn on your microphone and listen to you.
I don't have that many secrets. Turn it on. I don't give a shit.
So you say?
That's what you think.
You are a stand-up comedian. You use all that stuff for material.
Throw it all out there. Record it. Go ahead.
Drewster's on the Twitter, antihero419, and on the Elo.
And on the Elo. Same thing, antihero419.
Are you on the Elo for real?
Yeah, I sent him an invite.
He sent me an invite.
I got a whole bunch of fucking invites, man. I'm trying to find people to put on.
Send me an invite.
I'll send you an invite, buddy.
Do they have an Elo?
What? No.
Then don't send me an invite.
Okay.
And the mobile site is not very good.
No, it doesn't work.
Wait, send me an invite when everything's...
When it gets out of beta?
Yeah.
Okay, you got it. Also, Drew's on Snapchat. So, ladies, send him your titties. Not in the mail. I mean, like a picture of them.
Chris, I think we got something.
We got a problem here. We got a wet package. Pedro.
RicanGorilla.com. That's pretty much it. Because if I give you dates, I don't know when you're going to download and listen to this. And maybe I've come and gone. I'll be in Tampa at Side Splitters weekend of Thanksgiving. So
there you go.
Gonna swing by, hit me up on RicanGorilla.com. I'll definitely hook you up with free tickets.
Sweet. So. That's awesome. Good job. I checked out that Rican Gorilla. So many handsome face shots, Pedro. He's doing this a lot, Drew. He's always doing this. Hand on the chick.
That's what they told me.
The GQ look?
No, that's what they told me to do. I don't know how to do a fucking headshot.
It looks fantastic. I got to say, I put up the website. I was like, I know it's
RicanGorilla.com.
But who's this
from,
guy?
From my high school graduation picture.
Yes. It's like, who is this handsome fella? I know he's not the guest we're having on. Rican Gorilla on Twitter also. Check him out. Let's do 30.
Download
the show.
It's going to be revamped. I'm going to change it up a little bit. Right. But just go to the website and you'll see what's going to
get.
Go
do all the good stuff, guys. And, I am putting the show out. It'll be up in a couple hours. So for the dozen people that listen to this before tonight, you'll be at the Improv tonight.
There you go. Come through, 7:30, Sunday show.
Yep.
Once again, if you send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, or even on my website, I'll hook you up with free tickets.
We'll hook you up. So for the 12 of you who download this immediately,
get some free tickets.
We appreciate it. Check out Pedro. If one person shows up, that'd
be great.
That'd be a miracle. That'd be the miracle of miracles. Let's get started. Drew, what do you want to do first? You want to do Billy D's movies? You want to do, I got some questions from the listeners, or do you want to do some movie news?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll start with Billy D's Death of the Movies. This is the intro.
Kind of long.
A little long.
So glad you made it. It better be the last time. It better be better than the last time.
Welcome to Billy D's at the Movies. Billy D's our New York City show correspondent, horror film aficionado.
Okay.
And he's chiming in every week now with his new segment, Billy D's Death of the Movies. There you go. I hit the wrong button first. He writes, "What is happening, dudes? I want to give a big thank you to Hydra for leaking the Avengers 2 trailer this week. Hail Hydra."
Hail Hydra.
You guys see any of that trailer? Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. This week's Billy D's Death of the Movies Ultra Death Special Super Special Movie is a recent-ish movie, a new favorite here at Fort Awesome. I would call it a modern classic. This genre-bending, self-aware, horror comedy masterpiece topped my favorite films of 2012 and has held up against multiple viewings. Guys, what a coinkydink! This movie is Cabin in the Woods.
Hey, we were just talking about that.
I can't wait for the anniversary releases that dig up all the development hell this movie went through and for this film to be fully embraced as one of the true great horror films of this decade. If you haven't seen it yet, I honestly don't know what you're waiting for. If you have, give it another spin. It's probably been long enough. Till next week, who loves you, Billy D?
It's a great movie. We talked about it earlier.
I mean, yeah. it's got the comedy.
I was trying to get my 11-year-old to watch it with me.
Hell yeah.
Because she goes, what's this movie? It's like, it's a good movie. I'm like, I'll watch it with you if you want to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll watch it with you if you want to watch it.
You should have maybe undersold it. Like, if you want to watch it, I'll watch it with you. Maybe she's like, oh, daddy likes it too much.
Yeah.
No, no. Trying to be super cool. Is she at that age yet where she's too
cool
for daddy?
No, thank God.
Not yet?
No, no.
A couple more years?
Soon enough.
I can't do no wrong, dude.
Oh, okay.
I've been playing Magic the Gathering. I can't do no wrong.
You got that on the Xbox?
No, I've been...
with the cards.
Actual cards?
I'm playing with the actual cards now.
I used to do that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Now they got them on the Xbox.
I've always played it on the Xbox.
I saw... So there's the Black Lotus card is like the... Some super rare card from the 90s that's worth a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And someone did like an unpacking video of a box of Magic the Gathering cards unopened and came across a...
$27,000.
Yeah.
Cardboard crack.
I have boxes and boxes of baseball cards that are
not worth
nothing.
Anything.
Not worth shit.
That's what I got. Nothing. When I got out of the Magic Market, I made a hefty profit. Yeah. Not going to lie.
When you got out of the Magic Market,
that
sounds like that scene in Hellboy 2.
They
go to the Magic Market.
They have a website that they list the cards like stock market sales.
Yeah, the values.
It's like buy, sell, sell, buy.
That started like right when I was getting out of it. And like I said, I sold high. It was awesome.
Were you high when you sold it?
Both.
All three, actually. I was selling high volume. I was pretty high, and I made a lot of money. It was a threefer.
It's got to make that money on that Magic Market.
Yeah, my cousin has a shop. I'll give him a little plug here if
you guys
don't mind.
Yeah,
Mini Duels on Aloma. He does miniature tabletop gaming.
Yes.
Okay.
Like War Machine, Warhammer, and stuff like that.
I've seen stores like that where you drive by at the right time and they are packed.
He just had a 40K tournament this weekend.
40K?
Yeah. God and damn. That's that was pretty impressive, pretty packed store. But he pretty much built that store by selling his Magic stuff.
Yeah.
No shit. Wow. Damn.
That's good money in that shit, man.
That's where it's at. What am I doing with all these fucking Legos? All right, some questions on Twitter at Rage Against Twit writes: Has Antihero 419, that would be Drew, ever played Dead Rising Crackle TV 2 debut? Real quick before we get to Drew's answer, Dead Rising, the zombie video game, being turned into a movie that's going to debut on Crackle. Crackle.com.
Who's the lead in that? Isn't it somebody famous?
They just announced the lead. It's going to be comedian Rob Riggle.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Which I think is an interesting choice.
That could be funny.
It tells you where they're going with it, too. Okay, obviously, we're going to expect this guy to crack some jokes. Yeah. He's Rob Riggle. But he has the legit Marine background, where he is this kind of a secret badass. So yeah, I'm sure some of that will come through when he plays this the photojournalist stuck in a mall.
I can see that. I can see zombies. That be popular.
I can see it working.
Because, I mean, Zombieland was a great zombie movie.
That was fun. Yeah.
And... I think they dropped the ball. That could have been a franchise, but I don't know if dropping the ball kind of thing. They tried the TV show.
They wanted it to be a TV show originally, and when it didn't get picked up, that's when they turned it into a movie.
Oh.
Yeah, and then based on that, they were going to try it again, turn it into a TV show, and then I think it fell apart, didn't it?
Yeah, because you just... Those weren't the characters that you wanted to...
That's the thing. Now we introduce a really good characters via the movie and try to come up with new ones. Like, I don't care about these guys.
Yeah, no.
So, Drew, Dead Rising, the video game. What do you think of the games?
I played the first two. They were okay. I mean, they were a bit repetitive. But yeah, the whole thing with... That game introduced the whole, like, crafting your own super zombie-killing weapons.
Yo, boy, just got reversed the world. Shut up, Drew!
You know, like
attacking
chainsaws to giant paddles and then paddling your way through zombies.
Yeah, right. I remember that stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like then when they put out Dead Rising 2, it's like they...
Same thing.
They,
except different
you know,
characters,
to,
different place.
To say, you know, they jumped the shark with that one because it's like now we're attaching chainsaws, motorcycles,
yes.
and this to that. And we're just going crazy with it. And it's like, you know, guys, I enjoy it.
And
I enjoy
it's silly costumes, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you
it
could
was
put
all
like,
about changing the outfits, yeah. the characters' outfits and uh-huh. stuff.
Yeah. I just didn't like the loading time. Every time you would go through a door.
Yeah. yeah. Into the next section of the mall.
Load.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm done.
It's like, I'm going to go make a sandwich. You let me know when you're done loading. Drew Chicago versus the world. Drew this year is 10-3?
Yep.
He's a beast. Beast mode Tearing this year.
One of those threes is me, right?
Is it?
I think so.
I think so.
It's you. It's Kevin twice.
Yeah.
And is that it?
I think so.
Oh, my God. Elite Company, Pedro. It's just you and SBK taking out Drewster Cogburn. But Drew won last time. Big Mike Swamp from Swamp Patrol Radio. He beat him.
Yes, I did.
So here we go. You got to choose this week. We're playing the Three Billies. I'm going to tell you a movie. You tell me who was in it. Bill Pullman. Bill Paxton.
I always get those two confused.
Damn it. I know. Or Bill Murray. So Pullman, Murray, Paxton, or Murray.
Okay.
Or
Pullman, Paxton, or Murray.
Drew, I have two sections, A and B. Which one do you want?
I'm going to go with A.
All right, here we go.
Pullman, Paxton, Murray.
Number one, Titanic. Titanic. Here we go. Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton, Bill Murray.
Maybe Pullman.
Ooh, I'm sorry, it's Bill Paxton.
Oh, Paxton and Pullman. I was gonna so confused.
Number two, Wyatt Earp. Wait, are you pulling up IMDb?
That was Paxton.
No, that was that Pullman. Was Pullman.
Oh, I always get them confused.
Number three, The Razor's Edge.
Pullman.
Ooh, that's a Murray. That's a Murray. Number four, Tombstone.
That one was Paxton.
That is a Paxton. And finally, number five, Spy Kids 2, : Island of Lost Dreams.
Murray?
That's a Paxton. Yeah. You only got one.
That was
right.
Awful.
Ooh. Boy, Pedro, you just got to get two.
I think I got this.
A little bit of Gene Wilder for you. All right. All right, Paige, I'm going to tell you the movie.
I always get Pullman and Paxton so confused.
That's a brutal one.
Well, especially when we're doing Tombstone and Wyatt Earp. It's like one of them wasn't, but I'm pretty sure they both played the same guy, too.
No, but close.
They played an Earp.
They might as well. Pullman played Ed Masterson, who's one of his buddies. But still, they might as well have been the same guy. All right, here we go, Pedro. Number one. Cradle Will Rock.
Cradle with Rock. Oh, no, I'm confusing it with the hand that rocks the cradle. I am going with Pullman.
Ooh, that's a Murray.
Ooh,
that's a Murray. Number two, Lake Placid.
Paxton.
Ooh, Pullman.
Damn it.
Number three, Casper.
Oh, that's Pullman.
That's a Pullman. You're tied. Number four, Hamlet.
Oh, God damn it. I am going to go with Pullman.
That's a Murray.
Damn it, I was going to say Murray.
And finally, number five, Predator.
Oh, dude, Predator 2, that's Paxton.
That is correct.
Oh, there we go.
Pedro for wins. Win. Congratulations. Oof, that was a tough
one. That was a tough one.
Paxton Pullman.
I'm with you, dude. I get him confused all the time.
Everyone does. The tiebreaker that would have been used was Bill Murray has been in 40 movies. How much did they gross in the U.S. box office?
Oh, that's ridiculous. Really? Average?
No, total.
Total. 40 movies. Ghostbusters is super high.
Like $2.5 billion?
He says $2.5 billion.
I am going to go $2.6 billion.
Ooh.
I'm going Price is Right.
$1.6 billion.
Really?
So if we're going Price is Right, you're both over.
Yep. We both lose.
Yeah, he's been in plenty of money makers, that guy. That's why he keeps getting to work.
Weird Science.
Pullman.
Paxton.
See?
A good rule of thumb. For Paxton is the James Cameron directed, then it's a Paxton.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
That's why I don't think.
Because he was in the Arnold movie. I was waiting for that one.
Well, he was in Terminator, because he's one of the punks in Terminator. He's in The Abyss. He's in Aliens. He's in True Lies. He's in Titanic. And is he an Avatar? Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe that's the one. Man, how do you not get an Avatar, Paxson? Jesus, guy. That's the one. All right. Mr. Natathon on the Twitter writes, Crespodome question, in honor of the return of Keanu kicking ass gloriously, which is factually correct, it is glorious.
Puppy love.
What are some of your favorite over-the-top, well-choreographed action movies? Two horrible but guilty pleasures of mine are the fights for Sucker Punch. Hey, we're talking about that. And Shoot 'Em Up.
I love Shoot 'em Up.
Shoot 'em Up's a fun movie.
Shoot 'em Up.
I don't think Shoot 'em Up's horrible.
I don't think so either, because it's just Clive Owen doing his best Bugs Bunny impression.
Violent Bugs Bunny. Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah, you
ever see it? It's the whole fucking movie. He's doing Bugs Bunny.
You ever see that movie?
No.
The movie starts with a close up of him chomping on a raw carrot. He goes.
And the entire movie, he's got a carrot in his mouth like a fucking cigar. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's solely Looney Tunes style violence.
Yeah,
I gotta watch it.
There's a part where
an over-lactating prostitute.
Over-lactating prostitute.
Paul Giamatti's the bad guy.
Monica Bellucci.
Yeah,
plays a prostitute and doesn't get naked. So what's that all about? It's Monica Bellucci and she's a prostitute and there's no titties.
Nope.
Paul Giamatti's the bad guy. There's a scene. I think it's Clive Owen. I can't remember, but he has he doesn't have a gun, but he has a bunch of bullets. So he puts the bullets between his fingers. Then he holds his hand in front of a fireplace in front of a fire and waits for the primers to all get hot enough and go off in his hand. So he has all the shell keys in his hand. And he shoots a guy.
It's pretty badass.
It's absurd.
It's
man.
So silly.
It's funny. It's good times. But all right, so. Favorite over-the-top, well-choreographed action movies?
I just saw this recently, Raid Redemption.
Yes.
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 That was great. Good movie. And I heard part two is even better.
It's bigger.
Yeah.
It's bigger. Depending on if you like bigger is better, you'll like it
and
more.
And also heard that the Judge Dredd movie was based pretty much
Dredd
as
was
Raid.
Awesome.
Well, no. Dredd and the Raid... because they're both a similar where your main characters are in a building and the building's locked down and they're outnumbered by the bad guys. Here's the thing with that. Dredd was in production before The Raid, but it's a bigger movie. It took them longer to make the movie. The Raid was being made after the Dredd started.
So these shifty Singaporeans.
And they fucking released the movie before Dredd came out because they had a smaller window. But then it's they came out within a couple months of each other. People are like, oh, shit, it's the exact same thing. Yeah. And it was pure coincidence.
Two very good movies.
Crazy coincidence. Both very good movies. Love both those movies. Raid 2 is good, man. You know, if you're talking Keanu, you got to go. I mean, The Matrix is fucking action crazy. That's what really started all the kung fu-ness in this country.
And the last two are not very good.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
The first one was good. The second two really weren't that good.
They're okay.
I had to see them. It was one of those things.
Yes. Yeah.
But they really weren't that good.
The first
especially
one was
in retrospect.
Great.
The first one's over the top.
The second one we wanted so much. And I think we can all agree
and
that
it was
the coolest,
than what people
the coolest
expected.
Thing about the second one was the twins.
Yeah.
The twins were cool.
The twins were the coolest.
My favorite part of the second one was the freeway.
The freeway chasing. Fight. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing was. They had to build a 3 mile long highway loop, so that they could just film continuously. Have cars constantly going in a circle. They could film all that shit. Yeah. That but it had to be a big
two and
closed
three
circuit.
Were so bad that the Wachowski brothers are no more.
Well, they're not brothers.
Well, yeah, because not another brother and sister.
Now they're just siblings.
The Wachowski siblings.
They're just the Wachowskis now.
Man, that movie sucked, dude. What are you going to do? I'm just going to chop my dick off. I told you we should have stopped at one.
Should have made that Bound 2 like we were talking about. You ever see Bound?
Bound sounds familiar.
With Jennifer Tilly, Gina Gershon.
Yes.
That's Joey Pants. Yeah. That's a sexy thriller. That's a 90s style sexy thriller. But it was... Wachowski's though, it's really good. Over the top action, The Raid is like.
I thought you were gonna say over the top, getting remade.
Yeah, fuck yeah, over the top getting remade. I'm doing it.
Yep,
I'm gonna play the kid. Drew's gonna play the Lincoln Hawk or Lincoln Hawks, depending on the scene, because his name changes throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise,
Hawkinson.
Would you like the Robert Loggia role of the grandfather? Grandfather.
I think I can rock that, or the Terry Funk part.
Yeah.
Yes. You can play both. We'll just dress you up differently for the Terry Funk part.
Tell.
Hey, you know what? Terry Funk's still alive, right?
Yeah.
We could probably get him really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he'll still be willing to fly through some plate glass window.
Gremlins is getting remade.
Yeah.
It's not the one I want to see.
They've been talking about that for years, though, Gremlins.
I just saw it.
They've been trying to do it for so long.
Steven Spielberg's on it.
Yeah, well, he's got to be. It's their rights. The Amblin sells the rights to it. I want to know if Joe Dante is coming back because he did the first two. So
The first one was good.
Yeah. The second one was... Because they went comedy. You know, when I was a kid, I liked it.
Yeah.
Because they're going for funny. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is good for me. But then as I've gotten older, I much prefer the first Gremlins over.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first one's scary.
Yeah, it's actually legitimately, yeah, fucking creepy. Yes. When they
Christmas classic.
When they put the Gremlin in the... Yeah, it is Christmas classic. When they put the Gremlin in the microwave and it pops, boosh. Yes. Looks like our microwave.
Did she put it in a blender too or no?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the original screenplay, the Gremlins beat the mom and like the son comes home and the Gremlin throws the mom's head down the stairs.
Yeah.
In the original script. And they're like, that's too much. We got to tone it back. And then even then, they put out the movie with a PG and parents were like, this is not fucking, this should have been R. It's part of the reason why they came up with the PG-13.
PG-13, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. On the Facebook, we also take questions on Facebook. Tom Lucas, good old buddy Tom, writes, oh, simply, Avengers 2 trailer and Aquaman? Question marks are both. So, it is interesting how the Avengers 2 trailer leaked out about 6 days before Marvel and Disney were going to put it out officially.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Marvel, they tweeted a two-word tweet, no, a three-word tweet, damn you, Hydra, all caps. And then they put out... the official trailer in glorious 1080 HD HP
looks,
whatever.
It looks nice.
It looks beautiful. So the trailer's out. We got our first look at Ultron, the villain.
Yep.
Voiced by James Spader. Looks like the Avengers are going through some shit.
Yep.
Yep. So what you guys think? First impression of the trailer.
I'm still kind of... Like, it's. I'm going to go see it regardless.
Everyone's
going to go see it. But I'm still kind of like... I really hope...
Mm-hmm.
That this is Empire Strike Back,
yeah.
Type, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it cannot have a happy ending.
The darker sequel,
yeah. It has to because it's three parts. It's the Avengers 3.
Yeah.
Is the one where
everything in 2017, I think.
About whatever, right.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? They announced recently that Iron Man. Will be in Captain America 3.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're doing the Civil War storyline where it's Captain America versus Iron Man.
Yeah.
And apparently Captain America 3 is going to be the movie that's going to like change a lot of stuff for the way Marvel movies are done from that point forward. They're not even waiting for Avengers. That might be the last time we get Tony Stark as Iron Man, or Robert Downey Jr., I should say, as Iron Man. It could be the last time we get Chris Evans as Captain America.
If they're doing
ahead of Avengers 3.
If they're
3.
Doing the Civil War storyline, then it will be the last time we get Chris Evans, because Captain America dies.
Spoiler alert, Drew! Yeah, he gets shot in the head, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He gets assassinated.
Uh-huh.
But then they bring in Anthony Mackie, and he'll be the new Captain America, because they just did that in the book.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They just made the Falcon Captain America. Yeah. Anthony Mackie was Falcon. Put two and two together. Yeah, Anthony Mackie's getting a pay raise.
Yeah, and we saw how America welcomes a black president. Can't wait to see how America welcomes a black Captain America.
You're like, where is your long form birth certificate, Mr. America? You can't have a Captain America. I was born in Haiti.
They're hating the Fantastic Four because there's a black Johnny.
Johnny Blaze. Yep. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, in the last one, they took a Mexican lady and gave her blonde hair and blue eyes. So
yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know. Hotness is what that
was. Someone was definitely thinking with the wrong head on that one, for sure. Shout out to Carl Verna, who's friends with Tim Story, who directed those movies.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tim Story
Michael Chiklis was good as the thing, though.
I
gotta give him
props. Good casting.
For that one.
Still, Man in Rubber Suit looks silly.
I prefer Man in Rubber Suit over a silly CG. We'll see how the CG looks in this movie. It probably looks. Horrible. Aquaman. Yeah, we were talking about Aquaman's going to be... What the fuck? What the fuck, guys?
That's...
Does anyone actually want to see Aquaman?
Listen, I didn't want to see it when it was an Entourage.
Seriously.
I mean? That seemed like the dumbest thing. I think that was a joke. Like, James Cameron's doing the Aquaman movie. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, it was all a joke, and now they're trying to do it for real. And it's like,
I just don't see... what the fuck is he gonna do?
He's gonna talk to fish.
He's gonna talk to fish. He's gonna clean up the oceans.
He's gonna fight the Japanese whale hunters.
Yes,
fight the whalers. Maybe he'll suck up all the Fukushima radiation.
Show up at the cove.
Uh huh.
While they're stabbing dolphins.
Exactly.
Yes. Maybe he'll
basically gonna be Jason Momoa versus the Japanese.
I take it back. If they do it that way,
Jason Momoa versus the Japanese. Jason Momoa versus the
Japanese. I'm in.
Yeah. Momoa versus Japanese.
But watch, it's not going to be the Japanese. It's going to be some evil white Texas guy.
Or no, they could go with the Overlord. Yeah, BP. Yeah. BP is running them, and then they're not even Japanese. They're really North Koreans disguised as Japanese the whole time. Big twist at the end. Japanese are cool. We love you, Japs.
They're getting the army soon.
They are getting it back. So yeah, let's not piss them off, because they have an interesting way of flying their planes.
Revenge.
So like we mentioned earlier, Sharknado 3 to be filmed partly in Orlando.
Yep.
Guys, we got to get in on that.
Yeah, we do. We got to be extras or something.
Yes, yeah, something.
Get chomped by some sharks.
Right?
It has to. Dude, as a matter of fact, when I finish here, I got to go to Walmart and see if they got that shark costume on.
The one that you were wearing?
Yeah, dude. I bought a different costume, and then as I left the store, I was like, man, I should have gotten that.
Should have owned the shark one.
That would have been great.
I saw the picture of you as the health aid worker.
Yeah, the Texas Health Presbyterian Ebola clinic guy.
Yeah, with the bloody footprint. Timely. That is a timely costume, Pedro. So Interstellar is coming out here in about a week and a half.
Looking forward to that.
They already had the early reviews.
And people are blowing their loads all over the place.
Well, here we go. There was an embargo, which meant Warner Brothers wanted people who saw the movie wanted to sit on their opinions, good or bad. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Wait till like a week before the movie, and then you can let everyone know what you thought. But when people love a movie, they'll go to Twitter.
Yeah.
And when that happens, the studio usually is like, well, they love it. What are we going to tell them to stop talking about how good the movie is? So here we go. I got a whole bunch of tweets from the Interstellar early screening. Here we go. This is, should I bother reading the handles? At EV says, Interstellar is pretty awesome and fun, especially on IMAX.
Yeah.
At Noah SF Film writes, we saw Interstellar in 70mm IMAX tonight. Compounded the resonance with 2001 in fascinating ways, and the blacks and whites. So apparently this guy is all about racial harmony in Interstellar.
Okay.
He also goes on, the same guy wrote, Interstellar is extraordinary and angry. Heinlein influenced rebuttal to Clark and Kubrick's 2001 and a poem to light and gravity.
Interesting.
That guy got really pretentious with his tweet. At Juliet DEB1 writes, Interstellar, a fantastically powerful movie. Well worth seeing. At Triple C the most writes, Chris Nolan did it again! 3! All caps, Interstellar, greatest movie of all time!
Sweet.
So, no high expectations there, guys. We'll keep going. So, Interstellar is probably the best movie I've ever seen. Seeing Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar made today so incredible. What an awesome man and a fantastic movie. See it November 7th. Here goes some celebrity tweets. Edgar Wright. Am I allowed to say that Interstellar is incredible yet? 852 retweets.
I'm sure.
Brad Bird, director of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Dazzled by the ambition and intelligence of Chris Nolan's Interstellar, terrific performances, haunting imagery. Wow, in all caps. See it in 70mm IMAX.
They're stroking each other's dicks.
These guys are, Brad Bird and Edgar Wright.
We're the bad ones, and from somebody famous. If you can find one of those, that'll be great.
That's the thing. I don't think it exists, Pedro.
Exactly.
Apparently it's that good.
Exist.
Yeah, Chris Nolan. I'm not going to talk shit about Chris Nolan. I want to be part of when he decides to bring back
his next movie,
when everything else fails.
Well, Edgar Wright writes, saw Interstellar for a second time, projected on IMAX film. Truly a magnificent film. Emotional, visually stunning. See it large and loud. Patton Oswalt, I saw Interstellar last night, and I'm just now taking it all in. Holy moly, amazing. Ryan Johnson, director of Looper. Interstellar is bold and ballsy, huge ideas done in a concrete, grounded way, and some of the finest space travel spectacle this side of 2001.
Do you have any bad ones?
Let's see. This one might be bad. Emil Hirsch, the guy who was Speed Racer.
Okay, yeah.
Saw a private showing.
Speed Racer.
He was Speed Racer. Right,
yeah. He was.
Saw a private showing of Interstellar last night. Incredible film and absolute must see. It is truly unforgettable, so no, I don't.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I gotta see Into the Wild. That's one movie of his that I want to see.
The movie was actually quite good.
I liked them in Alpha Dog.
Oh, that's an older one.
Alpha Dog was a weird movie.
With Justin Timberlake. Yeah,
I kind of liked that movie.
I thought it was a perfectly fine Speed Racer.
Speed Racer.
Go Speed Go.
No Car Fu. Not down with the Car Fu.
There's Matrix guys, too.
Yeah,
the Matrix guys. So then when Speed Racer, when he finishes the last race and he goes through goes over the finish line and then it swirls around.
Oh,
and
it's so
and
crazy.
He's going through like a gate of altered consciousness and shit, like a Stargate style 2001. That's how the race ends, with a 2001 Stargate sequence.
What was the Emilio Estevez movie where he's an F1 racer?
Free Jack!
Against
Mick Jagger. Free Jack. When the car goes off the track and crashes into the... That's a fantastic movie. Fantastic 80s movie. Christian Bale is going to be Steve Jobs.
Is he?
Yes. In the Aaron Sorkin written, Danny Boyle directed.
I don't know.
Steve Jobs movie.
Really?
Is it going to beat Ashton Kutcher?
You know what? I didn't see that movie, but I read Kutcher is perfectly fine in that movie. He's actually a very good Steve Jobs. It's just that the movie that he's in is horrible.
Okay.
But he's good in it. But we're talking about Christian Bale. I'm sure he's going to be fantastic. They just gave him the role.
He's freaking Moses.
Didn't even have to audition. He's freaking Moses.
Batman is Moses.
And Danny Boyle, the guy who directed 28 Days Later, Slumdog Millionaire. What did he do most recently? Trance. Trance is a funny movie.
Trance is, that was a weird one.
He's directing, so it could be good. It's going to be an hour and a half to 2 hours of Christian Bale talking really fast. Like he's on crack. DC announced that they want specifically a female director for their Wonder Woman movie.
Okay. Sweet.
So how many of them are there? Calling that chick that did fucking Juno.
The one who wrote it? Diablo Cody.
Diablo
or
Cody.
How about the chick?
Get her to write it.
Hurt Locker. What's her face?
Catherine Bigelow. Hurt Locker, Strange Days, Near Dark.
She's good.
Point Break.
She beat her ex-husband for an Oscar.
Or the Wachowski sister. The Wachowski sister.
Just Lana. Andy can stay home.
Yep.
You know who I like for it?
Oprah.
Oprah would be the best director because everything will have glittered with diamonds and there'll be free cars for every crew member. And Wonder Woman will be like, and you get a lasso of truth.
And you get a lasso of truth.
Okay, do you now?
You get an invisible car.
Let's say, whatever franchise out there, comic book franchise, and something gets released like that, and says we are looking for a male director for this movie. Don't you think?
Explosion.
Well, I mean, that's, explosion. But that's a lot like saying, well, where's my white entertainment television?
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Every other channel. Every channel is white. So no one's going to say we need a male director for this. You just go out and get the male director.
Just get the best director you can get.
Well, the one thing is, and I talked about this, I think, on last week's show.
Get the guy from 12 Years a Slave. That movie was decent.
Yeah. And what's his name? The guy did Shame. Did you see Shame?
Was it Wonder Woman has a whip?
Yeah.
She has a lasso of truth.
A lasso of truth.
He's good at whipping.
And the only way that she can be defeated is if she's binded by her own lasso. So
there you go.
Yeah, very, little female bondage.
Very sexy. Very sexy. I was going to say, I think the person who should direct it, who could direct it, two people that I have in mind. Michelle McLaren does a lot of TV. She did like 11 episodes of Breaking Bad, some of the better Breaking Bad episodes. She did a couple, and based on that, she got some work on Game of Thrones and Walking Dead. She's done like just some of the biggest shows on TV now, and they're all
some of the better episodes.
She's good in the better episodes. So it's time that someone give her like an actual budget and let her do a real movie because she's really good. And
Tina Fey.
And of course, you read my mind. Tina Fey would be perfect because she knows comedy. And comedy is very important for Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Now, who you have for the second one?
The chick who did Punisher. The Punisher movie. Did you ever see the Punisher
movie?
No.
Which one? The second one?
The
first one?
Technically, it's the
Warzone. The one with Thomas Jane?
No, the one after that. The one with Warzone. Ray Stevenson. Warzone.
That's my
Punisher Warzone.
That is my favorite Punisher movie of all time.
Really?
The Dolph Lundgren one was good, but
That one's good. It's 80s camp.
The Punisher Warzone, it's the Punisher that you want to see.
It's so violent.
It's so violent. They throw this guy in a freaking glass crusher.
It's good.
It's awesome.
It's intense. A lady gets her face blown off.
Yep.
An old lady. And she's just sitting in a chair, not doing anything.
Oh, that's cute.
And Punisher just stands there 3 feet away with a shotgun.
Boom.
And then Michael Rappaport's standing there. He plays the cop. And then he's like, God damn it. But he says it more in a way as like, man, like.
Like, why'd you have to do that again?
You didn't have to do that again. This guy. I can't control this guy. So we got a new Terminator movie coming out. First off, it's PG-13. That's going to be terrible.
Awful.
Second, it's called Terminator Genisys. And Genisys is spelled
G-E-N-I-S-Y-S.
So strike a two.
And what? Please tell me we're warming up for strike three, Chris.
Female Terminator.
No.
Black female Terminator.
Black female gay Native American Terminator pacifist. No. Actually, this kind of now, for me, it rolls back just a little bit the low expectations I have. Now, the expectations go up just a little bit because, as we all know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is reprising the role of the T-800
yes.
in this movie. leading a lot of people to be like, why? He's an old man. How are they going to pull that off? He's a robot. How can a robot age?
Aged robots.
Apparently, James Cameron was consulted in the writing of the screenplay. Not to the point where he wanted his credit on there or his name on there or anything, but he had a lot of input into how they could include Schwarzenegger in this story. And basically, he said, well, if you guys remember the T-800, I explained in my movies, he's a Terminator skeleton, but he has living tissue over him.
Yeah.
Living tissue.
Ages.
Ages.
Correct.
So he can be an old-ass Terminator, still living. So here's what the plot might be. This is what we're looking at for the possible plot for this Terminator movie, which does intrigue me.
Kids playing outside, ball falls into this little tunnel. They discover in the ruins an old robot where they take a car battery and they jack it up to life. Right?
That, okay.
The red eye goes.
Yeah, comes online.
He kills all the kids.
He just, yes.
He's a Terminator.
He kills the kids.
He's a Terminator, so he kills
not,
all the kids.
Not where I was expecting that one to go, but okay. I was expecting the kids to take him in and reprogram him.
No, no, no. The kids gotta die because like, they reanimated the Terminator. Yeah, the Terminator has one job and one job only,
Chris.
But
I thought it was going to be like an Iron Giant type situation where they take the robot around and they're buddies.
I think this is a Cogburn Lima production.
You guys are definitely on the same page. Not me. Here's where it looks like where they're going. So this Terminator is going to be about how from the other Terminator movies, like the timeline has changed, mm-hmm. Back to the Future style. However, shit can still go down. Judgment Day is still possible, right? So there's still John Connor, Sarah Connor, and Kyle Reese. These are all characters that are still in the movie. They're all older, like in their 20s or 30s.
Are they
going to
get that chick back?
No. It's the chick from Game of Thrones.
Lena?
No. You would think it would be her, but no.
Khaleesi.
It's Khaleesi.
It's Khaleesi. Okay. Khaleesi is Sarah Connor.
Emilia Clarkson or something.
Emilia, something like that, right? Kyle Reese is going to be the dude, Jason Clark. Was that him?
Random white guy?
Or is he John Connor? I can't remember. I can't remember who's who now. I do know this. Imagine the Terminator was sent back, didn't get his job done, but because he can learn, he just hides out amongst people, and he's out there.
He's working at a laundromat.
He's working in a laundromat. You go to Walmart. You check out. There's a giant Austrian there with his sunglasses on, saying
stocking people all plastic. Soup cans.
Yes. Yeah. Excuse me, sir. Which way is the television? It's the electronics section. It's pointed out. It's like this guy's very oddly.
This TV don't work.
He fixes it with his own six hand there. So it looks. Yeah, Terminator's like. In society, kind of like living the most.
I
want to
see Terminator versus Short Circuit.
Oh my god. I want to see Terminator versus Short Circuit versus Wall-E.
Wall-E wins.
Well, live action Wall-E. Mm-hmm. But an animated Terminator. Switch that one on.
There you go.
Back to the Future. I'm talking about anniversaries. 30 years ago was when Back to the Future came out, guys.
I was 8. I was 9.
I was 1.
Bunch of babies. This article points out, because this came out on Tuesday, October 21st. It's not a little bit later.
My birthday, yay.
Is it really? October 21st? Really? Because October 21st, 2015 is the exact day Marty McFly ends up in 2015 Hill Valley.
Yep.
We're coming up on that date. We're only less than a year away now. From
Number one movie, October 21st, 1975, Jaws.
75?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah, that math checks out. That works. So, to celebrate 30 years of Back to the Future, they're doing special screenings of Back to the Future in which there's going to be a live orchestra. So while the movie plays, they're going to be doing the all live. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be really cool. I definitely want to check that out. So I wanted to bring that up, let people know that that's a building.
Right?
Would you go to that?
Yeah,
I would totally go to that.
The only other thing I've heard that's like that is every now and then they do screens of There Will Be Blood, where Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead, he'll come out with an orchestra,
really?
And they'll do a live score. But that score is all like...
When can we see that?
It's all very weird. And
it's a bastard in a basket.
Bastard in a basket.
When, where, how much?
It's like they pop up every now and then. It's almost always either in L.A.
Really
or
like
New York
movie.
Or Boston. That's so good. So good. Have you seen the trailer for Inherent Vice?
No.
Paul Thomas Anderson's next movie?
No, but any movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm in.
Oh, man. Well, he's got a new Daniel Day-Lewis, Paul Thomas Anderson, and Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix is like, he's it now, man. He is, for acting, for like over-the-top, like transformative
acting. He's fucking crazy.
He's really good. Like in the last few years,
I know you guys really like her and stuff. Like
yeah.
That, so
have you seen her?
I haven't seen. We have it.
We had Chico on here from Answer Pants a little while ago, yeah. And we told him, was like, man, her is our favorite movie last year. And he's like, looked at us like, what?
No,
her? Like, get out of here.
No, seriously, bro.
We're like, dude, watch it. He watched it, loved it.
Yeah,
loved it, Pedro.
I'm holding back.
Really good.
All right, well, don't say I didn't tell you. Don't say I didn't tell you when it happens and you finally see it. You're like, holy shit. So we got the final Hobbit movies coming out this Christmas. Thank Christ. No more of these things. The final budgets are out. How much do you think the Hobbit trilogy costs to produce, Pedro?
$1 billion. At least. $750 million.
Boom! Nailed it! $750 million.
Really?
$250 million per movie to make these Hobbit movies. But do you know why they spent that much? Because the first two Hobbit movies grossed $2 billion. Just those two.
So you pay $250, you get $1 billion back.
Yeah. Not bad, huh?
75% return.
75% return.
No, wait, 400%
return. 400%
your return.
I like when Viggo Mortensen was bashing Peter Jackson in an interview.
What was he saying?
Because he was saying the first movie was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because Lord of the Rings character.
So good.
And then once the CGI went crazy, Peter Jackson just fell in love with CGI.
Yeah.
And everything was CGI.
Yeah.
I'm acting with nothing around me.
He's got to pretend there's a whole battle happening around him, and he's standing around a bunch of green walls. Yeah. Yeah. Well, these Hobbit movies are even worse for that.
Yeah, they are.
Forgetting to develop characters and just going from action sequence to action sequence, and it's just not. It's just not fun.
I honestly saw every Lord of the Rings movie at the theater, but the Hobbit movie, I could care less.
We saw them both. They're really not that good.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's like
I saw them at home. And it's like
now I'm gonna go see this third one, like
just to get it done.
Obligation, like you're talking about seeing the Matrix movies.
Yeah,
you know, it's just,
yeah, you're committed.
Yes.
Yeah,
I've seen this many of them. Just fucking finish it.
It's like Sons of Anarchy. It's been so
a lot
corny,
of people do that with TV shows. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people hated watching Dexter by the end, but they're still watching it because they
put in years and years. Trinity Killer.
That was John
Lithgow.
Yeah, saw two episodes after that, and it's like. No.
Nope, I think I'm done.
Everybody told me that after Trinity Killer it sucks.
I want to watch that one season just for some John Lithgow.
Yeah.
It's great.
Because he's fantastic.
It's great.
You ever seen the movie Blowout with John Travolta from the early 80s?
So good.
That's a crazy one. And Lithgow plays like a hired killer who pops up towards the middle of the movie. John Travolta's a Foley sound guy, and he's out at night capturing sound for a low-budget movie.
Uh-huh.
And he records a car accident, but it turns out that the car accident's really a disguised assassination attempt, and he's trying to convince people that this was a murder, and no one wants to believe him. And then it's like he's in the middle of a conspiracy that he can't get people to believe.
Hmm.
It's really good. Brian De Palma movie from early 80s. Finally, last story here. You know how they're going crazy making the comic books into movies and TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
We got another comic book TV show in the style of Gotham. And Smallville.
Constantine.
It
just makes me so fucking angry.
Hope you're ready for this one, Drew.
Was it good?
I haven't seen it, but it can't be good. It's on NBC.
Yeah.
The Constantine character is like the Punisher character. Unless you get a rated R or something real gritty, it's not going to do the character justice.
It should be on Showtime, Cinemax,
or HBO.
Yeah. Or even FX. FX. Not only that, the Constantine character not smoking.
Of course. That's one of...
That's one of his trademarks.
He's
a trademark of the character. He
smokes.
He smokes because
he's trying to kill himself.
Because he's trying to kill himself. He's half dead anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. True. Well, I'd say Riverdale. What do you think of?
You say what?
Riverdale.
Why is that?
Lord of the Rings.
That's the name of the TV show. Rivendell.
Oh, Rivendell.
why does that ring a bell?
Because it is the town and the school. Is the name of the town and the school? For students... Jughead, Reggie, Kevin.
Oh God, Archie! Seriously,
Archie, the live-action TV show is coming, folks.
Archie was so
bad. We can all rest
didn't
now.
Didn't Archie get killed?
It's over.
So bad.
Did they? Or is he gay?
No, they killed him. Didn't they kill Archie in the last comic book?
Cancer.
He's still
or something?
Going.
No, a gunshot. Something like that.
But say
what?
The comic book's still going.
But now
Archie's dead.
So now it's just named after him, like in memory of
Archie. I think so.
Dead Archie. I want to see the comic book.
Do you choose the blonde or the brunette, Chris? What do you choose? That's all that comic book is.
Betty or Veronica?
Yeah, but who do you choose? The blonde or the brunette?
It's not just blonde or brunette, because the brunette is, she's all like hoity-toity, you know, like a richy-rich girl, mm-hmm. and Betty's more...
Girl next door?
Yeah, she's more chill. She's cooler.
Archie, he still struggles.
Archie Andrews died taking a bullet protecting his gay friend in today's issue.
There was a gay component there in there. All right.
He was shot at Pop Tate's restaurant in Riverdale while protecting his friend Kevin Keller, a newly elected senator and campaigner for gay rights and gun control, from an assassin's bullet. He is survived by his wife, Veronica. I thought he was gay.
Oh, he married Veronica.
No, oh, shit.
His wife, Betty. His teenage self twice over.
Wait, two wives?
Two wives?
He married them both? Man, talk about having your cake and eating the two. That's ridiculous, man.
He must be Mormon. Never knew.
Must be Mormon. Archie's a Mormon. I had no idea, but now we know. I didn't know. Archie's dead. Archie took a bullet.
Go figure.
Good for him.
I don't see that. Every time I see Archie's, I think of Porky's. For some reason.
Actually, when I see Archie, that's a funny storyline, because when I see Archie, I think of when I was growing up, I had access to a specific line of comic books put out by a company called Spire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was all Christian-themed comics.
Okay. Mm.
And part of their oeuvre was they had a run of Archie comics. They did a whole bunch of Christian-themed Archie comics.
Interesting.
And that was my introduction to Archie. I didn't read any non-Christian Archie stuff.
I used to watch the Claymation, the Goliath.
Oh, yes. The dog, the kid
the
with
dog
the dog.
And the kid. Yeah. I didn't know that was a Christian
thing. It was just a thing you watched. Well, I didn't know with the comics. I mean, I recognized sort of Christian elements to it, but I was like, I didn't know there were alternatives to that. It's just what I had. I still have this. Same company, they put out a Johnny Cash biography comic, and it's all like Johnny Cash's life, and... sprinkled with
Christian overtones,
Christian stuff in there.
Do they talk about his coke use?
Absolutely.
They do.
Yeah, but they allude to pills. I don't think they ever talked about coke, but they definitely pills heroin. And alcohol. Definitely went into his drug use and his fall from grace. And
this is when the devil helped them write some music.
Yes. Well, he was writing music before that, and then he was writing gospel music after that with his wife June, and it was very, very Christian centric there. So
there's a man walking around making a list.
All right, so this brings us towards the end of the show. We got us what we do every time we have a guest on. We've done this before. We're gonna do it again, Pedro. It's time for the lightning round. I got a job for this too. Ready?
Check this out.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Like a Geico commercial.
Lightning round time, Pedro.
Shoot.
I'm going to hit you with the questions. You give us the answers as quickly as you can, and we will learn a little bit more about you. Drew, please start that lightning clock.
Go ahead.
Number one, beer, wine, or mixed drinks?
Mixed drinks.
Number two, most recent book you've read?
The John Leguizamo book.
Oh, yeah.
Pimped Hoes and Player Haters.
Number three, candy corn. Yay?
Yes.
Number four, if you had to give yourself a new name, what name would you pick?
Not Pedro.
That's a weird, not Pedro. So not the first name? Number five, what do you miss the most about being a kid?
Oh, man. Responsibility.
Oh, yeah. What was your first job?
Taking the little newspapers from little coupon newspaper things in Puerto Rico and just putting them on every single house. I was, I was 12 years old.
So you're a dead asshole.
Yeah.
Number seven, where did you grow up?
From when I was 3 to 10 in Puerto Rico, 3 to 13 Puerto Rico, and then 13 till now in the States, in different states.
Number eight, Abbott and Costello or the Three Stooges?
I'm going to go Three Stooges.
And number nine, top three fruits. Go.
Watermelon, pear, mango.
And number 10, bonus word association round. Here we go. I'll give you the word. You tell me the word that comes to mind. Number one, disco.
Inferno.
Number two, soda.
Pop.
Number three, rabbits.
Stew.
Number four, Nirvana.
Awesome.
Number five, green.
Day.
Number six, parade.
March.
Number seven, Disney.
World.
Number eight, Ghost.
Busters.
Number nine, school.
of rock.
And number 10, dishwasher.
Hate that job.
There you go. Lightning round for Major Lima. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That brings us to the very, very end where you got to pick a swag bag to take home to your kids.
More swaggy.
More swag. So you got the purple. No, this is a pink bag. You got a green bag. You got a flowery orange bag.
I'll take the flowery orange because that's more Thanksgiving.
Drew, break out the bag.
What we have.
Let Pedro know what he got. All right,
sir, you are the proud owner of...
Oh! 2 weeks in a row.
This, I do this at least once a week.
2 weeks in a row, Drew drops.
Spills the You're going to knock it over again, dude.
It happens from time to time.
Yeah, it happens.
Don't worry.
It's a miracle any of this equipment still works, Pedro.
Seriously. You are the grand prize winner of a pair of orange sticky eyes.
Sticky eyes, yes. Oh, that's going to be sick.
Throw them at a wall and they stick. But their eyes.
But their eyes.
Nah, it's kind of gross. Also, you got some super toxic balloonies. It's weird plastic that you blow air into.
Oh, and
it makes
this
balloons. Is those things, right?
That shit is so incredibly toxic.
Yes. No.
Yeah. Okay. Do not suck in, unless you want to
get high and
bad. Yeah.
This is when the Chinese were trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Successfully, I'm right.
24 piece puzzle of a dolphin.
Oh, my wife will definitely love this. She's a dolphin aficionado.
And then when you're done, glue it to some poster board and frame it.
Oh. Yeah. Speaking of the Book of Life, you got some Day of the Dead glitter tattoos.
Día de los Muertos.
There you go. Very nice. Most excellent.
You're also... Speaking of David Lynch, you got a copy of David Lynch's Inland Empire.
Oh, Inland Empire.
Is it good?
No.
Okay.
3 hours of surreal weirdness that makes no sense. Every frame has Laura Dern.
It says
enjoy.
Disc one. I guess it's a
disc two. Has the special features and all that.
Yeah. And a lollipop and a pack of Trident White.
Right on. That's good.
There you go. And that's it.
Yeah. All right. The lollipop. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, sir. We really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. What was that? This is your third or fourth visit?
I think this is four.
Four, right? Yeah.
I did two in the old studio.
And then two here?
And two here.
So it's, let me see. I think we had Kevin on for five. We had you on for four. I think that's the leaderboard right
it's
there.
It's like we're the Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin of Cinema Crespo.
Yes, are.
Now we just got to find a John Goodman and we're good to go.
Yeah.
Big Mike. Kind of had Big Mike back on. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Pedro.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good luck tonight at the improv. Go make those other guys look better.
I will try.
Drew, thank you very much.
Very welcome, sir.
Thank you guys for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week with episode 95 of Cinema Crespo. So, and we are out of here.